The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And we'd like to welcome you to another edition of Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. And we're streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. I'm your host, Bob Vecchio. Be sure to like our Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. Suggest a program, club, or activity that your kids are involved in, and your school may be the next one right here in our spotlight. This week's spotlight is a special issues edition, and we're talking speech pathology and how to overcome some speech impediments, how to identify them, and some of the tips and tricks, or some of the myths and maybe demyths, bust some of the myths or demyth, or I'm not even sure what word that is, but again, it's kind of appropriate that I have a speech pathologist here as I butcher that part of the word. Barbara Kosker-Thorne, you are a speech pathologist for how long?
I've been working for 3 years.
Okay. So, you know, a lot of parents out there, and as a parent, I went through this with one of my own children. They have, some kids will have impeccable speech and
yes,
impeccable speech patterns, and then some students are going to have some real difficulties. So from a parent perspective, at what age should we start seeing progress, or what are some of the things to look for very early on? And I'm talking getting into kindergarten, pre-UPK.
Even pre-language and pre-words, children start to communicate at 1, 2, 3 months old. They turn their voice when you, they turn their heads when you say their name. They hear a noise. They should be looking at you. Pointing to request something using joint attention, such as making a sound, getting your attention, and then pointing at it or looking at it.
Okay. And what are some of the things that might be an early warning sign that you might have something that you need to have some work on, or come to a speech pathologist to work on? I mean, lots of times the things are identified by the time they already hit school age in kindergarten, first or second grade. And one of the things I learned is boys, their jaw bones and muscles and facial muscles develop a lot differently than females. So sometimes you'll find a lot of boys with speech impediments as they're younger, but they kind of, with proper techniques and practices can outgrow it. And if it's ignored, it could get worse. But what are some of the things as a parent proactively we could look for prior to getting into a formal educational setting?
Well, some guidelines to go by. The American Speech and Hearing Association give some guidelines, some really good guidelines about 7 months to up to a year. A child should be using some gestures such as waving. When you call their name, they should look towards you. When you say, "Where's Mama?" they should look towards Mama.
Right.
"Where's Dada?" they should look and try to seek somebody out. At about 1 and 2 years old, they should use 1 to 2 word questions, such as, "Where Kitty?" "Where Dada?" Receptively, they should be able to point to pictures in a book. Now, these are between 1 and 2 years of age. If a child is not doing something at exactly 1 year of age, it's not necessarily
right,
a cause for concern, because there are differences between boys and girls. 2 to 3 years old, expressively, a child should start to put 2 and 3 words together to talk about something or to request something, such as, "I want juice," "I want milk." They should also receptively be able to follow 2-step directions, such as, "Go get the book and put it on the table. Go get your shoes and bring them to Mommy." About 3 or 4 years old.
That's something I didn't understand too, because what you're saying is they should be able to understand the language. So that's the comprehension piece of it, and you should be looking for that. They should, at a certain age, "Hey, where's Daddy?" Like you said, and look over at Dada. Now, settle a long term argument for me. What name do kids always say first? Is it Mama or Dada? Because that's right. There's always a huge competition on.
Child's first sounds should be
I'm keeping my finger crossed.
P B M W H. The M sound should come before the
Brian,
D.
Brian, that's it.
But some children do say Dada first, but it might also be just a little babble.
Okay. All right. So so odds are that they're going to say mama first, and it has nothing to do with mom's probably taking really good care of them and dad, you know.
Yes, generally the M starts.
All right. Now that we settled that argument, but again, the comprehension skills are just as important to look for as what they're saying.
Yes.
So again, in the very beginning, where's Dada? Where's Kitty? Where, you know, whatever the nickname for the dog, if they're trying to mimic that nickname. And then it should progress to multiple words instead of just two. But the comprehension is just as important.
Just as important,
because
yes.
Because you were very subtle with it. Go get the book. I mean, that's, you know, at a certain level, okay, I got to go find the book and get the book.
And put it on the table.
And put it on the table. So. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you typically have seen and have worked with since you've been a speech pathologist?
Well, right now I work in homes and preschools, so it's really nice when you get to go into the child's home and see them in their natural setting and see what's really going on between the siblings, the dog, the cat, the parents, and their daily routine of just coming home from work and having to make dinner and having speech therapy all at the same time. Some of the children that I see have a hearing loss. They have a syndrome, which includes multiple problems within their body. Some children have cancer. Some children just are late talkers. They just have not developed their language. A couple months of intervention, and they pick right up on it, and they do great.
And for children that are on the spectrum, I'm sure that you work with them as well. If, you know, the autistic children might have a problem developing speech or maybe talking too quick or what, any number of things, right? What are some of the things for parents that are already dealing with autism that they can expect to get help from a speech pathologist?
Well, actually, I do see somebody also that has a diagnosis of autism, and we work on pointing. Calling mama, dada, responding to his name. Just basic, those basic little language milestones that he should have hit at about 3 months of age, 6 months of age, he's working on now at almost 3 years old.
Okay. Now, as the children progress, and now, you know, we've gone beyond one and two words, and now they get a little bit older, and it's like right around where kids are going off to pre-kindergarten, what are some of the things that you tell parents they should be working on when you're not working with them directly to help sustain some of the tools and mechanism that you're trying to impart on them?
Some basic tips that I tell parents, give them choices. When you're going to give them something to drink, hold up the bottle of orange juice and the bottle of milk and ask them, do you want juice or milk? And let them point. And let's say they point to the milk. Okay, you want the milk. You want the milk? Okay, mommy's going to pour the milk. Pour the milk in the cup. Just talk throughout the simple daily routine of pouring milk into a cup. Getting them dressed, putting their shoes on. Okay, do we put our shoes on our head? No. Do we put our shoes on our feet? Yes. And that just helps them develop the simple skill of responding to yes and no questions. It also gives them the ability to be silly and just relax and learn during a silly little routine. As a child gets older, 3, 4, 5 years of age, if they if for cat, they say tat, tell them that's right. That's the cat. That's the cat. Just emphasize
the
correct sounds.
So positive reinforcement is saying, no,
yes.
It's cat. It's
some nice.
No, you're right. Cat and overemphasize.
So they still get the reward of feeling like, oh, they said something. Oh, well, it's not right. But it gives them the encouragement to try again.
So what are some of the myths out there that might not be true that parents come to you and some of the things that you could say, no, you know, listen, I know that's what you hear, but here's what the real deal is.
Well, some of the myths are...
They're like all over the place, right?
They are. They are all over the place. What I see in personal experience is one of the greatest myths is using sign language in place of a word if the child hasn't developed the word, such as more. Teaching the child more might take away some of the frustration that they can't say that word, but if they can sign it, it might take away some of the frustration. Another simple sign is help. The child needs help if he can learn that sign being able to do the sign might take away some of the frustration of, oh, well, wait, if I can sign it, then I don't have to cry and scream until mommy finds out that I need help.
Right. Unless people that you're signing it to have no idea what you're doing.
Then yes. That's a possibility.
So, you know, like any challenge or any issue that you may be facing or an individual may be facing, early intervention is the key. Is there such a thing as too early being too early when it comes to speech pathology?
No. I have started working with children before they even turn two.
Wow.
The earlier, the better. Early intervention is key. Because once that child reaches about 3 years of age, 4 years of age, 5 years of age, they're so frustrated that they can't express themselves. Mom and dad or their older brother or grandma or their babysitter is so frustrated because they don't follow directions. And that's tough. For that child to then learn how to say the words, how to follow the directions, and what they need to do.
When we come back from the break, we'll talk about some skill sets and how to handle school-age children and speech issues they may be having, and how to seek out and get the help that you need. You're listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio and streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. And like our Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. We'll be right back.